The Old Testament reading for Oculi is written in Jeremiah chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen and everyone turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law that I have set before you, and to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I send to you urgently, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth. The priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, you shall die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without inhabitant? And all the people gathered around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord, and they took their seat in the entry of the new gate of the house of the Lord. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and to all the people, this man deserves the sentence of death, because he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the officials and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city, all the words that you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words into your ears. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, while others to test him kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. But if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the finger of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man can get uncomfortable when hearing about certain things, the topics of suffering or injustice or death, all bring an uncomfortableness to man. But man especially gets uncomfortable when dark things are dealt with, when dark things are exposed, and the connection of dark things to man, connected to man, then man truly gets not only uncomfortable, but defensive and standoffish. God's Holy Scripture reveals His truth. And it's not just that it's His truth, as if it simply can be disagreed with. Now, that's your opinion. It is truth, because it's God's. There's a saying that goes, it's not that man interprets God's word, it's that God's word interprets man. In other words, God does the defining. He does the revealing. And what he reveals about mankind, mankind is not comfortable with. God reveals the darkness of man's original nature, man's total depravity, and pride-filled man is not so happy about that at all. So what can really be said is that the truth of God's word is offensive to mankind. Now, to avoid God's uncomfortable truth about man, anybody can simply develop an attitude that says to itself, I'm just going to believe the way I want. And if God's word happens to line up with what I think and believe, well then, ooh, that was a close one. I almost had to tell God to loosen up. Stop being so stringent. Come on, God. Keep an open mind like me. And friends, it's God's word. It's His truth. You read it yourself, God willing, and you hear it preached, God willing. But in either case, it's still His word, His truth. Whether you read it or hear it, it will always proclaim the truth about man and the truth about God. And there's no stopping his truth. It's true no matter what. The most poignant truth of God's word that strikes as uncomfortable and cuts man to the heart is God's proclamation that man is sinful from conception, that man will continue being a sinner who sins as long as he remains in his flesh, that the wages of sin is death, and that man cannot ever save himself by his own efforts, which is why Christ Jesus was sent to make satisfaction for the sins of the world. Even though man may only be informed of that truth or even believe that truth, because of being in sinful flesh, man will always try to skirt around God's truth. Sinful man says things to himself like, I'm only going to allow the positive parts of God's word into my mind, not all of it. I'm going to keep an open mind. I don't like hearing about how I'm a sinful person, so it would be enjoyable to my mind if the liturgy could be changed to be more joyful, if the pastor would stop preaching all of God's truth. It should be all about the positive things, because then nobody would be offended, and then we would help the church to grow for sure. The truth of God's word, I'm sure God will understand that we need to keep open minds these days, so open that we can believe or practice things different than what he proclaims through his word of truth. The times have simply changed from when God originally penned his word. So if God wants his church to grow, well, then he needs to let us have open minds. Does he really expect us to be exclusive when it comes to the doctrine he reveals through his word of truth? Does he really expect us to keep it? Man gets comfortable in his own belief, even if a dash of God's word happens to get sprinkled in there. But when all of God's word is proclaimed, watch out. When all of God's word of truth is to be upheld, your old nature, your old sinful flesh, sees the writing on the wall. The old nature who's comfortable with his little belief system, he gets revealed for who he is. And when all of God's truth is proclaimed, which is, by the way, how it is kept, man is uncomfortable. So the old nature's reaction is to cast out the word of God or the person proclaiming that word of God. The times of the prophet Jeremiah glaringly reveal this, and it's no different today. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. God's word is truth, and the word of the Lord endureth forever. God tells Jeremiah, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak to all the cities of Judah that come to worship in the house of the Lord all the words that I command you to speak to them. Do not hold back a word. It may be that they will listen, and every one turn from his evil way, that I may relent of the disaster that I intend to do to them because of their evil deeds. That truth of God's word is for all of mankind to hear. Are you listening? Is the world listening? Did you hear the word of the Lord? Or are you keeping an open mind? Is it okay to tune out the pastor? There is an intent of God's word, and it is to turn you from your evil ways. And that doesn't mean turn you so that you become some perfect, obedient Christian walking around like a robot. God provides the way to perfection. As God delivers his truth-filled law about the darkness within you through your old nature, God is mercifully driving you to realize or confess your position of need. He calls you by the gospel and turns you to and through the way that he has provided, a location that is the place of refuge, the throne of grace, the New Testament in his blood to which you flee. God mercifully delivers his law for the sake of bringing you his gospel. For the only way of rescue is through Jesus Christ and him crucified for you. He, Christ Jesus, is the way. Christ Jesus has fully merited the forgiveness of your sins. Christ Jesus is the mercy seat of God. Yet even that way, even the gospel, as good as it is, as rejoicing as it can be, your old nature despises it and finds it offensive. That way, the way of Christ's cross, involves blood and death. It involves payment because it involves accountability. It involves dealing with the dark side that is within you through your old fleshly nature. It's the side that is dealt with in the gospel text for today. What did Jesus do? He casts out a demon. Gosh, what a horrible thing to do. Yet look at how they reacted to Jesus. After casting out darkness, they nonsensically accuse him of being evil. That darkness is revealed right on the cover of this bulletin. It's just, wow, wicked stuff. What church puts that on their bulletin? I lost my place. That darkness is revealed right on the cover of this bulletin. It's the truth of God's word about man reflected through an icon on the cover. Yet how many can handle it? How many could consider themselves this lowered in such a dark position of need? I'm not that bad. There goes the old nature again. Please don't preach that offending message that chases people away. We can't be concerned with reflecting such biblical truth through what appears to be an evil picture. We need butterflies and soft, fluffy kittens on our covers. Let's just be concerned with getting people in the pews with a message that everyone wants to hear. God may have his way, but that dealing with dark stuff, that bloody way, just needs to stay out of our minds. Our open mind says that it's not about the dark, depressing stuff. No requirement of blood, no accountability, no suffering, no sin. It should simply be about the joy of everything working out for us and going our way. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. And that, repenting and believing, that would be God turning you in repentant faith by his truth. God turning you to the way he established as your only way to life. That would be the finger of God killing your old nature, that you would have a new nature by belief and baptism through the merits of Jesus Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. God's word and sacraments deliver Christ's merits to you. They keep Christ closed in your mind. Christ's merits kept closed as the focal point and object of God-created and sustained faith. When God's word of truth is under attack, then the gospel of Christ is under attack. Keeping an open mind, it's a dangerous thing when it comes to the word of truth. The following words of the Reverend Peter Bender, who creates teaching materials on the Christian faith, have been mentioned before in the Sunday morning study of Holy Scripture. His words teach the essential truth of the whole intent of God's word. These words will make your old nature, who's always striving to survive, uncomfortable. Now, even though he's only speaking of catechesis, or it's a big word for instruction or teaching, even though he's only speaking of that, his words apply to the truth of God's word preached as well, along with God's word being carried out in the Holy Liturgy. Pastor Bender states, "Catechesis is mainly concerned about converting the sinful heart from unbelief to faith in Christ. Catechesis and evangelism are not essentially different. They are the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins through which the Holy Spirit calls sinners to faith in Christ and preserves them in that faith. We continue to catechize and teach those who have been converted to faith in Christ, not because they simply have a need for more information. Oh, I can't wait to learn more about Jesus and, you know, what the times were like back in Jerusalem and what kind of money system did they use and all sorts of wonderful information. We continue to teach not because they have a need for more information, but because they continue to have an unbelieving old Adam that must be put to death so that the new man of faith might come forth and arise by the power of the gospel. Catechesis deals with the proclamation of God's word, which is contrary to the sinner's nature and one that he does not want to hear, such as, all of man's righteousness is filth, and faith in Christ is a gift of God, not of works. These are the two major stumbling blocks for any student. There is no righteousness on your own, and you cannot do anything about it. These two truths are central to biblical teaching. Always to be remembered, faith in Christ is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Conversion is not worked by man, it is worked by the Holy Spirit. Thus, faithful preaching and teaching will produce either hardness of heart or faith in Christ. There's no middle ground. So it's not surprising that the old nature doesn't want to hear God's word, either his law or his gospel. Why? Because the old nature wants to survive. But all of God's word must be proclaimed. All of the uncomfortableness. For God's truth is all that matters, and it does the defining. God has given you the way to life. He has supplied the throne of grace, the mercy seat, who is Christ. By the grace of God, abide in God's word, and he abides in you. And he will bring you to have a closed mind that keeps you before the throne of grace. That is what chases the devil away from an open mind. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing, receiving what Christ won for you, forgiveness, life, and salvation, which is delivered through God's word and sacraments. That reception keeps Christ, the mercy seat, as the object of faith, closed in your minds. Rejoice indeed, for the stronger man has come and has won the battle for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.